Harp and Bowl was really sweet. It was really special. And Papa Chuck giving a little chastisement to the folks that weren't there. No, but really, you missed out. It was amazing. Just the fluidness of going in and out of intercession and worship.
And what was really cool was we weren't on the stage.
No, we actually took everything. It was very, very intimate.
People walking around us and praying, you could just feel the presence of God moving.
Yeah, it was amazing. We had we just set up right here and just right on the floor, and everyone just walk around and intercede and worship and dance together. It was just a really wonderful time. So, anyway, we pray for Dan's healing over his body, and we pray for safe travels over Apostle and Susan, and pray for healing over my body because I'm feeling a little something coming on, but I was destined, yeah, stay away from me, but I was destined to fill in for Dan and make today happen, so. Ian's traveling today.
Henry Thomas.
Yeah, I'm praying for Miss Doris. She's back in the hospital. Is Henry in the hospital right now or no? Okay. He's recovering. Just slowly and steadily. Just take a moment right now and just take a few breaths. There's a lot of announcements, a lot of prayer requests. Lord, we pray for Henry right now in his recovery, that the cancer would dry up in Jesus' name. Pray for Ian as he travels, Apostle Clay and Susan and Dawn. We pray for Ms. Doris, who's in the hospital right now, for her strength to come back. All right, just take a deep breath. God is good. He is always pouring out blessings and favor. And he loves his children. He loves his people. I want to talk with you this morning about honor, leadership, and I want to tell you a Bible story about a man named John called Mark. So go ahead and open up your word to Acts chapter 12. We're going to kind of skip around through Acts. I won't be too long. I just want to really hammer in a point about honor and speaking highly of one another and speaking highly of leadership and even speaking highly of leadership that you disagree with and not cutting people down. Amen. The Word of God tells us that even God appointed some of the wicked leaders. And we're supposed to assassinate them or maybe pray them out of office. I mean, yeah, we can pray for righteous leadership in our nation. But it doesn't mean that we don't respect and honor and give the authority to where honor and authority is due. Makes sense? Well, Lord, we open the scriptures. We open the Word of God this morning, and Lord, we know that it is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, able to pierce through bone and marrow, soul and spirit. And so we are ready to be equipped. We're ready to take on the world when we leave this place. Amen. John called Mark. John called Mark was really known more as Mark. He wrote the Gospel of Mark. He's just a significant figure in the canonized scriptures. He documented the life of Jesus. He was a missionary in the book of Acts. How many of you knew that? Mark was a missionary in the book of Acts with Paul and Barnabas on the missionary journey. He helped Paul and Barnabas quite a bit. And that's what we're going to talk about today, about John called Mark. Acts 12, if you're there. I just want to read this scripture first. Acts 12:25. Paul is going on his missionary journey. He's doing his apostleship. He's raising up leaders. He's writing letters. He's traveling from this place to that place. He's in prison. He's out of prison. He's getting dragged around, beat up for the sake of the gospel, preaching the word, regardless of the circumstances or the outcome. So in Acts 12, we see, it says, Acts 12:25, let's just read it. It says, "And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark." Your version might say John called Mark, or it might just say Mark. So Mark, a missionary with Paul and Barnabas, Mark sitting under the leadership of Apostle Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey. Whenever you read a scripture, whether it's an entire passage, context and all, or you're reading just one verse, you want to ask yourself, what does this passage obviously say? Or maybe, what does this passage obviously not say? Because there's things that the scriptures, sometimes we have questions about what happened, what didn't happen. But there's things that the verse will plainly tell us, and there's things that the verse doesn't plainly tell us. So, but this verse plainly tells us that John called Mark, was on the missionary journey with Saul, with Paul and Barnabas. Make sense? All right, four people are with me. Make sense?
Yeah.
All right, we're good. Let's continue to go on. Flip another page. Go to Acts 13. Acts 13:13. "Now Paul and his companions set sail to Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John left them and returned to Jerusalem." So Acts 12 and 13, Paul and Barnabas are on their missionary journey. John called Mark is with them. Acts 13, 13, John left them and returned to Jerusalem. So what's obvious about this passage? It's obvious that John called Mark left. It's obvious that John called Mark returned back to Jerusalem. What's not obvious about the passage? It's not obvious why he left. It doesn't tell us he was offended. It doesn't tell us he got injured. It doesn't tell us that he had family matters to attend to. It just says that he left and went back to Jerusalem. But in Acts 15, so flip a couple pages over, go to Acts 15, we then find out more about why, or not exactly why, but what happened when John Mark left. So this is a couple, maybe a missionary journey or two later. Acts 15, we're going to start in 35. Acts 15:35. "But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.'" Pause. This is the apostleship of Paul. He's traveling. They've established churches, or they're equipping leaders, and they go back through and they visit and they check in on how they're doing. That is the call of the mantle of an apostle, is to raise up leaders, to establish a work, to build something. They're master builders. And then they go back and they travel. You know, doesn't Clay do a lot of traveling? He's going back. He's equipping the saints. He's communicating with them. He connects with them. So this is the mission of the Apostle Paul. He's going to go back and he says, "Why don't we go back and let us return and visit brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Verse 37. Now Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to do the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement. Is it becoming familiar now? You guys know this passage. Paul and Barnabas going different ways. "There arose a sharp disagreement, so they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord." So there's this sharp disagreement And Paul says, I'd rather not take John called Mark, who withdrew from us on a previous missionary journey. And Barnabas is, the disagreement is, Barnabas is saying, let's bring Mark with us. And Paul says, no, let's not. Your translation, depending on what you're reading, might be a little bit more brutal than the word withdrawal.
Yeah.
Okay? Mine, deserted. Let's read a couple translations. Acts 15, 38 is the verse. This is the version that I just read. But Paul thought it best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them. Okay, withdrawn. NASB and NIV say Paul kept insisting that they should not take with them one who had deserted them. The Amplified version says, but Paul kept insisting that they should not take along with them one who had quit and deserted them. The Message translation says, but Paul wouldn't have it. He wasn't about to take along a quitter who, as soon as the going got tough, jumped ship on them. That's intense. So he's not just saying, oh, he bailed on us last time. He's saying, this guy's a quitter. This guy gave up on us. This guy gave up on the missionary journey of spreading the gospel to all the nations of the earth. Paul is likely very frustrated about how he was treated by John Mark and how John Mark gave up on him. Does your version say anything different? Does anyone have a word that is other than deserted or withdrawn?
The Greek is apostata, and it means it's where we get apostate from. So it's basically saying he was kind of an apostate the way he withdrew from
him. Chuck, if you didn't hear that, he said the Greek word is actually translated apostate. Put yourself in the shoes of John Mark. Maybe he got weary. Maybe he grew weary in well-doing, as the scriptures tell us. And Peter, don't grow weary in well-doing. How many of you know that it's easy to grow weary in well-doing? Just put yourself in the feet of John called Mark. It would be very difficult to have gone on a missionary journey, abandoned, withdrew, deserted, quit on them, and then Barnabas comes along and says, let's take Mark. He's ready again. Paul says, no. Think about the hurt that might come in. Not that, you know, Paul is being hurtful towards somebody, but that some of the commentaries say that the places that Paul and Barnabas were about to go in visiting the brothers that they had preached the gospel to, that Paul was nervous about bringing someone who had wavered like that as a testimony to the people that they were going to go visit. So it's not that Paul didn't have it together. Paul was trying to be wise in the missionary journey. But John called Mark did desert them. So what's obvious about the passage? It's obvious that Scripture is telling us that John called Mark backed out and quit on Paul and Barnabas previously. It's obvious that Paul is not interested whatsoever in working with Mark anymore. He wouldn't have him. The I'm trying to remember what translation that said. The Message said he wouldn't have him. It's obvious that there was a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas over this. And it's obvious that Paul went his own way and Barnabas went his own way. But later on, I'm going to have you turn quite a ways in your Bible to 2 Timothy 4. Go there with me if you have your... His near relative. So, yeah, Chris said that. Yeah, it's his cousin. Now, Barnabas, his name is yeah, translated, his name means son of consolation. You know, someone who really is, their heart goes out to people. What's another way of putting that? Son of consolation, or very compassionate towards people, very mercy motivated, maybe. Does that make sense? So that's what the name Barnabas actually means. Peacemaker. So Barnabas, in who he is really trying to bring things together. He's being compassionate. He's being mercy motivated. He's saying, let's restore Mark. Let's bring him back into the fold. Paul doesn't want to have anything to do with it. But let me show you something really neat. 2 Timothy 4, verse 9 through 11. This, as far as the timeline goes, is years and years and years later, probably 20 years later, maybe 15, 20 years later. I looked on a timeline, don't quote me on it, but it's quite a ways later. This is before, this is at the very end of Paul's life when he writes 2 Timothy. At the very end of his missionary journeys, at the very end of his life, and he writes to his spiritual son, Timothy. And he says, do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. This is at the end of Paul's life. Everything's kind of, this is one of the last books that 2 Timothy, and maybe one of the one other epistle was the last book that he read, that he wrote. And he says to Timothy, bring Mark to me, for he is very useful for ministry. Interesting, isn't that? So what's obvious about this passage? The questions that I encourage you guys to ask. Paul's heart may be changed. Yeah, Paul is saying, get Mark. That's what's obvious. Paul is saying, get Mark. He's saying, he's not just useful to me in ministry, for ministry. He's very useful to me in ministry, is what it says. What is not obvious about the passage? So some of that history stuff that I kind of explained to you about the timeline, that's not obvious from the text, that this is much later in Paul's life. Much later in Mark's life. Deb says Mark has matured. Mm-hmm. Potentially. You know, that's not really in the text, but, you know, in time. I think Paul has matured. Okay. Hey, listen, I like this.
Obviously, Mark didn't leave again.
Are you guys saying this is just basic critical thinking? When it comes to reading the scriptures unfolding, this is a great Bible story. As I told you, I was going to share with you a Bible story today. But check this out. Barnabas took Mark, son of consolation, compassion, mercy motivated, wanted restoration possibly with Mark. Barnabas took Mark and went on a missionary journey. Paul took Silas. And because Paul's relationship with Mark at the end of his life, he says to Timothy, bring me Mark. There had to have been so much growth in Mark's life, but there had to have been so much, you know, you don't see it in the text, but you can almost put yourself in the story and say, what happened? Barnabas must not have said one vile thing about Paul, even though they had a sharp disagreement, because through Paul and Silas's journey, Barnabas and Mark went on, and Barnabas discipled Mark through the journey. And then at the end of Paul's life, Paul says, bring me Mark. So these are some things that I wrote down. I said, thank God for the Barnabases who saw grace and hope for the ones that have been turned down.
That's right.
Not only the ones that have been turned down, but the ones that turned you down. Thank God for those Barnabases in our lives that when others wouldn't accept us, this type of leader did.
Yeah.
And it's not that Paul made a wrong decision. You know, remember when I told you that Paul was kind of, you know, nervous about bringing someone who had wavered, someone who had, like the Greek says, an apostate, to as a testimony to the brothers where they had ministered the gospel. So it's not that Paul made a bad decision, but thank God for Barnabas, who took Mark under his wing. Thank God for Barnabas. Thank God for the Barnabases in our lives that press through an even tougher challenge than other leaders. It's kind of interesting to me that Barnabas, I guess that's what mercy-motivated people are like. They tend to gravitate towards that compassion and gravitate towards, you know, restoring relationships. But that seems like a much harder, you know, much greater challenge than, you know what, let's just take everyone that's stuck to it and go on this missionary journey. But Barnabas says, no, let's take Mark. Let's disciple Mark. Let's mature Mark. Let's invest in him. And I'm just thankful when I look back in my life, the Barnabases in my life that decided to take on a greater challenge in me, someone who wasn't perfect all the way. Isn't that a picture of the gospel message? Isn't that a picture of Jesus? Isn't that a picture of kingdom work, that he would choose us, that he would give us a second chance? But check this out too. Thank God for the Pauls that are able to still see the fruit even after a parting of ways. And thank God for the Pauls in our lives that are able to speak highly of one whom they strongly disagreed with earlier. See, these are some nuggets within the story that it's not seen in the text. You can only imagine the leadership behind the scenes. Barnabas not speaking negatively or harshly towards Paul, even though they had a sharp disagreement, to where Mark's relationship with Paul could still be restored in the end. And Paul not holding a grudge against Mark, and because Mark was the reason for Paul and Barnabas's disagreement and separation, Paul didn't hold that against Mark in his life, but chose to see the maturity and the very usefulness of Mark at the end of Paul's life. Does that make sense? So I'm just looking behind and seeing behind the text and trying to put myself in the storyline, thinking, look at this. This is leadership. This is honor. These are leaders who honor each other and are going on missionary journeys, and they're going to further the gospel in Asia. They're going to further the gospel in Africa. They're going to all these different places, and they're furthering the gospel. And even though they disagreed with one another, and even though there was not just a disagreement, a sharp disagreement, still later on in their life, they could speak highly of one another. Still later on in their life, they could do that. Why? Because they didn't let a root of bitterness go deep in their heart. Because they decided not to hold a grudge against Paul, against Barnabas, Barnabas against Paul, Paul against Mark, Mark against Paul. See what I'm saying? The honor that I see displayed in this story is the honor that I want to walk in towards other leaders, towards people that I disagree with, maybe, towards people that I've gone separate ways with. Think about those people that you might have disagreed with in your life and gone separate ways, whether it's other leaders in your life. It might even be a divorce. It might be, you know, something when you were younger, when you were a kid, when you were in college, when you were in high school, all those disagreements, those things that pull us apart. More times than not, we allow bitterness to go in and take root and really mess us up and cause us to see all other leadership through that lens and cause us to see all other relationships through that lens. But I don't see that in this passage. And these guys weren't perfect. These guys were men just like us. They were you know, men and women advancing the kingdom of heaven, the gospel message. And I was listening to a clip last night. It was a quote of Steve Jobs. He said, "This world that we live in, all of the great people that have done great things and invented, you know, electricity and, you know, the light bulb and all of this, like, revolutionary stuff, your perspective will change on what you can do with your life when you realize that every other person that accomplished something amazing was just as human as you, was just as normal as you. And when you realize that these guys in the scriptures, they weren't superheroes. They weren't like some, you know, they had the anointing of Holy Spirit on their life. Yeah, they wrote the canonized scriptures. There's something special about it. But when you look back on David's life and you look back on Jonathan and you look back on, you know, the prophets of old, God uses what man would call weak. Come on, someone give me that scripture. God uses the foolish things to confound the wise, to shame the wise. God uses these people, just as human as you and I, to advance the gospel. Paul, Barnabas, Mark, John, you know, all of these amazing people in Scripture. When you realize that you are able to do the things that they did because the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is alive in you and has quickened our mortal bodies, like I talked about last week, that's when the change happens. When you realize that, hey, God has called me just like He called Paul. My call on my life might not look like Paul's call on his life, but He still called you. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I just wanted to add this really quick because I, at heart, am a very, very, very loyal person. I'm like a bulldog to my family and friends. And so to me, a really hard part of not letting a root of bitterness take hold is realizing that I cannot be entitled to be loyal to someone to a fault. I can't, even though I want to. Like Clay, for instance, we love him. We are so loyal to him here, and we so support him in everything. But we cannot let that loyalty go to a place where, let's say, Mark is following Barnabas. He can't go to a place where he's so loyal to Barnabas that he speaks out against Paul. And that, for me, is really, really hard because I'm naturally such a loyal person. So I just wanted to touch on that really fast because it just kind of came to me and I was like, wow, that means that even though we really, really love someone and believe in them, because of that, we can't speak out against who we think may be coming against them. Like, we really still have to retain that honor, especially before the Lord.
That is the key to me, is not speaking out against people that you love and you're loyal to, and you see a sharp disagreement come or you disagree with something. The key is to not speak down about that person, but pray for them and pray that the gospel gets advanced in their life. So think about those people that you've parted ways with. Have you let bitterness go deep in your heart? Have you let the grudges, have you held on to those things in your life that you, like Natalie said, you might be so loyal to, I might be so loyal to Chuck and Britt that when they have a separation with someone, with another relationship, I would just want to speak down about that relationship because I'm loyal to them. But that's not what the Word calls us to do. I pray that separated, you know, relationship gets furthered and the gospel gets advanced in the kingdom. Amen? And I'm not saying that we should all go find these people that we've parted ways with and look for fruit in their life or hope that they're doing good. You know, I mean, there's no way that we can go find every relationship that's ever hurt us, but you can forgive in your heart. You can seek to forgive them. And you can seek to forgive yourself for holding that and say, God, I let this go. I'm not going to be bound up in the chains that I've put myself in of unforgiveness. So don't be bound up in the chains of unforgiveness. Yeah. It's a gospel of grace. Yeah. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Grace is good. So just take a moment. We're just going to wrap it up here today. But just take a moment and think about maybe those hurts that you still hold on to. You know that hurts. That you know that you have things inside of you that don't need to be there when you think of that person that hurt you, and you still kind of get a bad taste in your mouth, or you still kind of clench up. If you're thinking, you know, just think about those relationships. Forgive those people. Ask the Lord to soften your heart, to allow His word and His principles and His character and His person to go deep down inside of you and break up that fallow ground. Break up all that hardness, all that frustration, all of that hurt, all of that unforgiveness. Let His word and His power go deep down so that you might have the grace to forgive. So you might have the grace to move on and to advance the kingdom of God in your own life. Not move on so that you can feel better, but so that you can effectively be fruitful in the kingdom. Just like Paul and Barnabas and Mark on their missionary journey. They just went. They had a disagreement. They went their different ways, but they were both still preaching the gospel. And what will keep you from continuing to bear fruit in your life and preach the gospel everywhere you go is unforgiveness, hurt, bitterness, that root of bitterness in your heart. So just take a moment and go before the Lord right now. Just close your eyes. You can stand up. You can get on your knees. But God, we choose this day to forgive. God, give us the grace to forgive. Give us the grace to forgive. There's grace in this place here. There's faith stirred up. From the reading of the word to the revelation that's come, there's faith in this place, and there's a grace to be able to forgive. So just stir yourself up to love and good works. Father, we do our best to identify those areas in our life that we've so hidden from you, that we've so hidden from ourselves. We've just hidden away, tucked it away, those closets with bones in them, those closets with skeletons in them. We just clean it out right now. We just clean it out. Come on, just clean it out. Lord, come with your cleansing. Come with your waters of refreshing. Forgiveness is the garment of our courage. Let forgiveness go deep. Let it make you courageous. Forgiveness is the garment of our courage. You as you go to forgive. Forgive every day. Forgive every chance you can. When people hurt you, forgive. When people turn their back on you, forgive. So that fruit in your life can come. So that you can see the gospel of the kingdom advanced. I'm going to read Psalm 1 to you as you go out today. This is in the NLT. You'll probably have a hard time keeping up with it because I'm so used to it in the ESV. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. For they are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing their fruit in season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Be like a tree planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in season, spreading the gospel. Let forgiveness be the garment of your courage as you go. Amen. Let's all stand up. Here. We have a testimony, so Diana's going to share.
I was sitting in the back. Never intended on saying anything, but as I was sitting there listening to what Matt was talking about, the Lord said, I want you to give testimony about yourself. I said, really? He said, yes. It's for someone in here. He did not tell me who it was for. I don't have to know, but it's for someone. And it is about forgiveness. I'll be 59 years old this year. I've been through a lot of things in 59 years. I was a happy child, had pretty much just a happy, normal life. Life goes on. You're going through your journey of life. The longer you live, the more opportunity you have to be offended and to have things happen to you. I've had a lot of things happen to me, and I won't go into detail of the 59 years, but I've had great, great opportunity to be so offended and to be so hurt and to be so bitter. I've had the gates of hell completely riled against me, spewed, and tried to kill me physically more than once. can stand before you and tell you, because of this very thing that Matt was talking about, it's the truth, because I live it. I have lived it. I live it now, and I will live it, because this is my life. This is what I've decided. I made that decision that I choose this for my own life. And you can too. Every single day, people will offend you. But it's not worth it, because what it does is it brings you to a place of bitterness. Bitterness can kill you. When bitterness takes root in you, it causes diseases that can ultimately kill you. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. And you say, well, you just don't know. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Just short of being healed. Yes, I do. And that's why I know I can stand and say that it's so worth to forgive. Just let it go. And when you do that, it allows God's grace to come in, and it allows you to be in that place where He can do miraculous things. It releases you. It's not for the person that did it for you. It's for you. That's what forgiveness is. It's for you. And it's the most wonderful thing I have ever experienced in my life. And I've experienced some very wonderful things. And I've talked about all these other things. I've also experienced wonderful things. I think that's probably one of the very best things I've ever experienced, is forgiveness. Because it frees me. It frees you up. It frees you up to love others. It frees you up to be who God made you to be. And that's the most wonderful thing of all. Instead of trying to be somebody else, just be you, who God made you, because that's what you're the best at. But I just want to encourage everyone, if you don't know how, you just stand where you are and just say, God, I release this person and I forgive them. You can just say it in your own words. And as you do that, you might not feel anything instantly, but I guarantee you there's something that is happening on the inside of you, and that releases that grace to start working. And it's a wonderful thing. And that's what God did for us, and that's what we can do to other people. I love you all, and I hope you all do that.
Well, if you want to worship a little bit or come to the altar, and just, there's such a sweet atmosphere right now. Really feel the Lord brooding over us. So if you want to stick around and worship for a little bit, that's okay. We're getting out a little early again, just like last week. I guess Matt's not super long-winded, is he? We'll be blessed. Go forth this week and forgive. Go forth this week and live an empowered kingdom life with courage and forgiveness as your garment for courage. Amen. Y'all go out and be blessed. Hug somebody. The altars are open for prayer.